podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
John today. And my answer is Jesus. That's what I tell everybody every time they ask me. I'm preaching on Jesus. The praise song that we just did, which one of my favorites, The Heart of Worship, and it talks about Jesus. I will have to mention, love that choir special. Music is a big part of my life. I used to sing with the choir some when I could, and cantatas, and so it was just awesome. It's been 14 years since I've been here to preach. I've been here for funerals and going away parties, if you will, for many, many wonderful saints. But this is just a really, really big honor and a privilege. When I was called here, and I'm going to share some things. I'll try to be quick, okay? I'll try to be fast. So get your listening ears on, because I could stand up here and talk about my experiences at Quaker Gap for hours, for days. Quaker Gap is my home, okay? I have two homes, Brimsgrove and Quaker Gap. I grew up at Brimsgrove Baptist Church and was called into the ministry and thought he was calling me to preach, to be a pastor, and he realized I wasn't ready to do that. And so he led me to Quaker Gap to be a youth minister. And I don't know that I was ready for that either. But I was a teacher and had a connection with young people. And what he gave me was an opportunity to learn and grow. Jim and Enan Baldwin were special role models for me. And then had the chance to work with Jack, who also shared some things that I carried on. And so I'm going to reminisce a little bit, and I'm going to mention some names. I would love to call every one of you out by name and thank you, because my experience here was just wonderful for me, because everyone accepted me, a greenhorn in ministry, accepted me with open arms, with loving hearts, and showed compassion to me and my family. Two of my sons were baptized here, accepted Christ here. The family has grown, as you see, and they're all doing well. They're all paying their own bills. Isn't that what you like when your kids grow up and pay their own bills? That's right. And I am really, really proud of them, what they've done, what they're going to do. And we came here with three young boys, Sandy and I, and you showed us love. You opened your arms. And I started learning from people. I learned from older people here. And some of you were getting on up a little bit in age, and you're still here. And I just cherish those thoughts, those times we had. The Sunday school class that I helped teach, I was an assistant teacher, taught. But I think of Dud and Dennis and Louise and Alma and just what I learned every week. Every time I taught that class, they taught me. Kathleen, I think of some who have gone on, and I remember hearing Elmore Redding in a deacon's meeting say, "Listen, we need to do whatever it takes to help our young people. Whatever they need to help them grow in Christ, we're going to do." And Ira Tedder, right back here with me and Jim, we were talking about the future, talking about maybe buying some land back here or developing land, and his vision was so strong and so powerful Let me cut this thing down. Because I'm a traveling preacher. I'm liable to move around a little bit. Press a button, and so I did. I'm a slow learner sometimes. Ira was back there talking, and he was talking about the future. And he knew this. He was months away from dying. He knew that too. But yet his focus and his vision was for Quaker Gap Baptist Church. And whatever we needed, he was ready to provide the leadership, the wisdom, the knowledge, because it was about Jesus. And it wasn't himself. One thing that I learned that I tried to take back to Brim's Grove was that thought that it was about Jesus. It is not about me or the pastor or the deacons or a family. It is Jesus. Jesus is the reason that we are here. I want to thank the parents of our youth, because I came in knowing a lot of the kids, but the parents were just always there, ready to support whatever we needed. Some of the experiences that we had. We went to rest homes, and our kids, our young people, youth, just to watch them interact with older people. And I would tell them, I'd say, you know, sometimes you may see some people who are speaking out of their mind and they really don't know what they're saying. And yet they were always willing to share, willing to reach out, willing to love, willing to smile, hold their hand, and care for them. And I learned a lot there just by watching our young people meet others. We went on youth trips every year. I didn't really know what to do, so David and Donna showed me and led the way. One trip that I have to share, we went to Garden City and had a blast. And one of the things we did every evening, it sort of varied. But we'd go on this back street over here, and we'd drive that van as fast as we could, and water splash up in that van, and had a big time. Till I got home, and Dud and him said, "Listen, that was salt water you were spraying up in that motor." Had to replace a few items, but it was fun. I guess, you know, I wasn't too much on tides then. But doing that and all of the mission trips we did were just awesome. But one trip was a little more special, the trip to New York City. How many people went on that trip? Anybody go on that trip? We got some people, some youth, adults. That trip was the most Spirit-led trip I have ever experienced. We got here to load our bus. And we loaded the bus, and we still had a third more stuff that needed to go in that bus. Well, I was getting a little antsy, and I said, I'm going to go pray, and there's some things I need to do. And Sandy and Steve Hall and somebody else, David Barnacastle, had bought a truckload of food. And it was like Jesus with the loaves of fish and the bread. He created space, and they got everything that needed to go in that bus, except for one table, I think. Except for one table. We go to New York City. Now think about this. This is New York City, Manhattan. And we get ready to pull into the Metropolitan Baptist Association, and there was a space right in front of that building for that bus to park. And all week long, it was God working. Parents were anxious. They didn't know if they wanted to send their kid to New York City. And I'll tell you, honestly, for me, I didn't hear a siren the whole week that we were there until we got on the bus ready to leave. And then I said, "What in the world's that? That's a siren." But God opened doors, provided energy and strength. And so many trips were like that, but that one certainly seemed to stick out.
One of the most enjoyable things was our basketball camp that we did for 5 or 6 years. Youth Christian basketball camp. And our young people led that. Just the other day, there was a lady who said, "I want you to know that my grandson went to Quaker Gap's Youth Christian basketball camp. And he is now a missionary in a foreign country. And that camp influenced him and had a great impact into why he chose or accepted that call into the ministry." And as I said, our young people led that camp. And so things like that, they just hold a special place in my heart. As the body of Christ, everything that we do has eternal implications. So what do we do with the past? I love history. I love talking to older people because I want to learn something. I've had younger people tell me, "I want to learn why don't you tell me what happened in the past?" Times are changing, but our focus, what is our focus? I want to read from Philippians 3, a few verses here, verses 12 through 14. And Paul says this, he says, "Not that I have already attained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I have already attained all of this," or "not that I have already attained all of this or have already been made perfect." The word perfect, teleos, means it is a functional perfection. It is the idea of working towards a goal. What are we working towards? Now, I can take things in the past and I can, you know, we can all pat ourselves on the back and say, "Well, you know, we did a good job with this. We did some good things." But if we stay there, we're in trouble. Because Paul was speaking to some people who sort of had this idea that because of God's grace, everything they did, anything they did, really didn't matter because of God's grace, I'm okay. Do you believe that some people trust Christ and say, "I am heavenward bound, I have punched my ticket," basically, is what people do. Now, I can't judge people's hearts, so I don't know who is saved, but some people make that profession of faith, but have they really given their hearts and their lives to Jesus? That is the question. And see, Paul here is questioning some of the people because their attitude was like, I'm already there. I am already there. And so if we're not careful, we become fat and sassy. Like, you know, "The things I've done, they're great. We have served the Lord. I have retired from Brimsgrove Baptist Church, but I'm not retired. I will never tell the Lord I'm done. I'm retired. I've done all that I can do." You know, he We have to individually and corporately understand that we are to strive to be more like Christ every day. Whatever we do in our actions. Paul here in verse 12 says to continue to in Philippians chapter 2, I believe it is, he says to continue to work out your salvation. Now we know we are saved by grace. Do you believe that you were created in God's image? You were created in God's image. You are special, you are talented, you have been gifted. But when you trusted Jesus Christ, you were recreated. You understand? You were recreated. The old is gone, the new has come. And so our lives need to reflect that. In what we do, we need to be focused on trying to become more like Jesus every day. And we can't say, I'm there. I'm where I need to be. Because we're not. You see, I am a saved sinner. Saved by grace. I fail. I fall short every day. But I should be striving, putting what is behind me and looking forward to the future. We must recognize who we are. We must recognize where we are in our walk. And it's so easy for Christians to become complacent and say, I've done enough. Paul realized he had not reached the possible glory that God had in store for him. Every day, we ought to wake up and we ought to boldly and with confidence profess who we are in Christ Jesus. We live in a world right now where Christianity is trying to be suppressed. Christianity is looked upon as being something that is bad. People are conceited. People are arrogant. Christians are not in touch with the world. If you are a child of God, you have the Spirit of God living within you. You understand that? And we are victorious over everything that comes our way. And I think that Paul wants us to understand that. He understood that he had not reached the possible glory that God had in store. And so with humility, we confess that we have not achieved that fullness also. He says, forgetting what is behind. Now, I can't forget what is behind always. I can't forget about Quaker Gap Baptist Church and all the things that I've learned. But what we do is we take those things and hopefully become better people. But I think he's also saying you've got to put behind the things that will keep you from being everything that God wants you to be. Do you know people who hang on to things that just hinder their growth? Sometimes it happens with death. Parents who have lost a child, and I don't know what that's like. There's a lady at Brims Grove who lost her daughter. She was like 16 years old, and she has yet to get over that. And it really hurts her and hinders her walk with Christ. Even the hard things. Sometimes sin prevents people from being all that God wants them to be because they get bogged down and then I'm not worried. See, Satan wants you to believe that. He wants you to believe that you're not worthy of serving an almighty God. And Christ, Jesus Christ, died for us, took our sins to the cross. And we don't have to let that happen to us. So Paul says here, forgetting what is behind. And so he is asking the people to look forward. We don't need that sense of guilt. We need to continue striving. When I was in grad school, and the professor told us, and you know, we were trying our best and studying and working pretty hard. And she'd say, "You haven't arrived yet. You hadn't arrived." And then when we finished that class, she said, "Most of you have arrived." I don't know if I was part of that most or not. I got my diploma. That's all I know. You see, we haven't arrived at the full glory of God. And we will one day. We will one day. Praise the Lord. And so, what do? "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." I want to ask you right now, what is your focus? What is your focus for the future? Christ wrote these words. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on this earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, so the question is, and I've got a little illustration that I want to share. This rope that I'm going to unwind, I just want you to know that it lasts forever. It goes on and on. It will not run out. It represents eternity. You understand? It represents eternity. This little piece right here that is taped up represents your life on this earth. Compared to eternity, it's pretty short, isn't it? Pretty short. I want to challenge you as I challenge myself. I want you to think about what you do on this earth. Are you storing up treasures in heaven? Or is your focus right here? I think about money. Is money my main focus? And sometimes it is even to right now. I think about, am I going to have enough money to do what I want to do? I like to travel. I like to have this, maybe a new car. What is our focus? Is our focus on eternal things? Now, storing up treasures in heaven, I believe that that refers to the things we do in our relationships with people. I believe it refers to us as we share Jesus Christ with other people. I believe treasures are stored up when we love people that aren't so lovable, that we give to people who don't have, that we reach out and love and care for people. We are storing up treasures in heaven. We are planting seeds, just like the seeds that were planted by our youth at that youth Christian basketball camp that might have had a pretty strong impact on someone becoming a missionary. The seeds that are sown in our lives, are we focused more on retirement and easy living and in a place here or a place there or traveling around the world? Are we working hard? Are we working hard just for what is going to happen and is happening on this earth? Or are we storing up treasures in heaven that can't rust, that can't be torn apart? That is the question that I want to ask you, that I want to ask myself. Paul said, forgetting the past and looking to the future. What an awesome challenge we have. What an awesome opportunity we have. You know, as much as I like to think about what has happened in the past, as much as I like to look at all the things that were done here at Quaker Gap that are continuing to be done, and James, you're working with these kids and molding lives, and Jack and everybody that is involved here. You see, life is different now. Church is different than it was 30, 40 years ago. We have some amazing challenges outside the walls of this church because the community is not the same as it was. If our focus is just on us, we could very easily say, well, I'm pretty comfortable here at Quaker Gap. We're going to focus on just the people in here because it's easy. That is not where God is calling us. That is not what Jesus wants us to do. Listen, just as my experience here was just unbelievable, and I cherish it, and I thank you for all that you did for us, for me, for my family, the support. I've got to look forward. We've got to look towards those heavenly treasures and those things that we need to do for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your love and for your amazing grace. Without Christ, we would not be here today. Without Christ, we would have no purpose. But because of Jesus, we are new creatures. We have been changed, and Lord, we have been given challenges and opportunities. And so I pray that each individual Christian here, whether young or old, will understand, Lord, that they have some things to do. Lord, that we can't let the past slow us down. We can't let the past keep us down. But Lord, our focus is striving to reach that goal for which you called us, Lord. Dear God, we live in a troubled world that seems to be getting more troublesome every day. I pray that we truly can be light in a dark world. And it is your light shining through us, Lord. I thank you for Quaker Gap Baptist Church, Lord, for what it meant to me and my family for some 12 years. And Lord, for what is going on right now, for the ministries that are being shared, for the lives that are being changed. And I pray, Lord, for Jack and for the others, Lord, that their focus will continue to be on you. And I pray these things in the marvelous and wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.